It's a Coupathon.
Got it.
We are going to do one of our famous live episodes. We've done this twice now, maybe three times, something in that vicinity. Join the Discord. Watch it on the Discord. It's going to be that Sunday we talked about in 2 weekends, and it'll be live. And we are going to be asking for money. I'm
just
not
be
gonna
prepared.
Sugarcoat that.
Right.
Be prepared that we're gonna ask.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You don't have to give the money, but
we will be asking.
We will be asking. If you're offended by that, don't show up.
Right.
We'll be asking for money for Coop just to break even, to do get paid, because we have not made enough money for Coop so far, historically.
Yes.
We're gonna watch Jesus.
Watch Jesus. Read Jesus.
Read Jesus.
Read Jesus.
Read Jesus. And
Regis
then
is,
I think Coop will edit that down to a whatever, to an episode that gets published sometime thereafter, probably within the week.
But then will we owe him money for that?
Well,
but there's nothing we could do about that, right?
But then we were talking about maybe, and we should talk about it in the Coopathon.
Okay.
And I'm open to different versions of this.
Mm-hmm.
We might leave the Patreon on,
okay,
until Coop is recoupensated.
Ooh.
Or we might decide that is not
right. Give everybody a break.
Wise, and give everyone a break.
Is just at that point, is it legally?
Is it legal?
Yeah, is it legal?
A lot of
just
it's just like
it
actually, like, would we go to prison?
Prison immediately.
Yeah, less than the ethical quandary.
I mean, you know, I don't want to go to prison, but it would be funny to go to prison because you left your Patreon on for your podcast.
Because we forgot to turn off the lights.
The feds. I would go to prison for our listeners.
Yes. So anyway, well, we could talk about that. You know, we'll have it'll be more discursive next 2 weekends because you can talk to us while we're doing the episode.
It'd be a real flip of the script at the end of the break, before the break, for Cooper to have all the money and for us to get arrested and be chained ourselves.
It's fitting.
It is fitting.
There's something that feels inevitable
about it, that it's like there's no way to avoid it.
That is the best ending.
Unfortunately for us.
You didn't see it coming, and yet you have always seen it coming.
True Greek tragedy.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So anyway, Cooper, flip all that stuff.
Yeah, flip it around.
Have fun with it. Yeah, have fun. You love to do this stuff.
Yeah, this is thrilling for you.
And let's. Oh, wait, do you have more? Cooper, our hard-suffering, money-loving, basement-dwelling editor-producer. We have still not
friendly,
paid him enough.
Friendly monster.
A friendly monster, sort of like my pet monster.
Yeah.
Shackled. Huge schnoz.
Like... Cute, but ugly.
Cute, you know, that kind of line.
Ah, real monsters. That sort of thing.
Yeah, you
friendly
love him
monsters.
Because he's so freaky.
Yeah, disgusting. But we get to see his perspective.
Yeah, warts on his big schnoz.
Right. So
jaggy teeth.
But cute.
You want to squeeze him.
Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Little monster.
For sure. Yeah, he's a little freak. Okay. Coop is underpaid. We don't know. Because we're going to go on a hiatus, we're feeling a little anxious that we still haven't paid him back for the now years that he's been working here. So we're going to do a Coopathon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is.
Yes, it is.
The Coopathon is going to be the end of Samuel 1. We're going to roll right into a sneak peek of Jesus. We're going to go for, I don't know, as long as it takes. We're going to find some way. We're going to try to raise a little money for Coop. It's going to be a live episode. So those...
Get on the Discord.
Oh, wait. All right, flip this, Cooper.
Okay.
Flip this.
Flip it.
We're recording it on that 2 weekends from now.
Yes.
But that's not when the majority...
People can listen to it. We'll record it to make sure people
but
can listen to it.
It's not being published.
It will be published.
Immediately? No.
Not immediately.
No, it'll be I'm saying two weekends from now. Okay.
Flip it.
Okay, we're reading these skip passages.
Yes.
But in two, then we're going to have a break for a weekend. I want to let you know, just you guys do your thing.
Party, have fun. Tarry.
Tarry, if you will.
Yes.
Tarry all weekend. Because the following weekend is a big, big episode. we are do it's and it's a multi-parter. We are a multi it's one episode, sorry, mm-hmm. but it's has a few things going on. In 2 weeks, two weekends, mark your calendars. Sunday, two weekends from now, whatever that is.
October 8th.
Okay. We'll put out more information on all the channels.
I've started to.
Oh, okay.
I've let people know.
Is our last episode in a little while. We're going to go on a hiatus. We don't know how long it's going to be. We're exhausted. We'll talk about it then.
I could hear it in your voice. It's like, wow, that does sound like a tired man.
A tired man.
Yes.
We are going to finish. We're going to do the last chapter of 1 Samuel
mm-hmm.
or Samuel 1.
Someone told us how to say
and
it.
And I already forgot.
Yeah.
It's one of those. We're going to do the last chapter and we're going to roll right in to Jesus because we don't know exactly when we're going to start the podcast again. We really are curious about this Jesus fellow.
Right.
We have a lot of questions. We want to see what's going. We also want to try to pay back Cooper. Cooper, flip this. What I'm about to say, flip this to the beginning. This is the right order.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Bible Brothers, the podcast where we read the Bible from front to back. My name is Robert Padnick. With me as always is Dan Klein. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Robert. Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, sure. The Sleepy Brothers.
We are. Hopefully they don't notice,
the
though.
The Dad Brothers.
The Dead Dad Brothers.
The Dead Dad Brothers.
Bible Babies, Dead Dad Brothers.
Well, you're recording this on a Friday, and Dan and I came to independent conclusions that we are tired.
Yeah, we will both be sleeping immediately after this.
Yes.
And we both needed some caffeinated drink to get into this.
Yep, we're really on the same page.
Yeah.
Haven't seen each other in a while, got right back into it, exact same page.
Just figuring out how tired the other one was.
Yeah, so we'll charge up.
Well, what's nice about, I feel like a little bit breezy about the Bible today.
Task at hand. Uh-huh.
Because it's like, well, we've already passed these chapters. They don't really matter.
Oh, well, you should explain.
Well, people called us out, very rightfully so, immediately on the Discord, like, what happened to chapters 27 and 28?
Right.
And my instinct was like, something got messed up in the file transfer.
Oh, yeah. My instinct would be like, it's entirely Coop's fault.
It's Cooper.
Blame Coop.
Right. It's
whenever
that rat.
They get mad at us, I say, Coop!
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Cooper!
Yeah.
So we called Cooper screaming. Because of course the Peltz family answers the phone.
Give me Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us Cooper now.
And then they hang up because they're like, that's, you can't speak to your main funders like that.
Right. Like, oh man, we messed up. We got to cool off. We have a cigarette.
Mrs. Peltz, could we talk to Cooper, please?
Cooper home?
We're not mad at him.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can talk to him.
Mm-hmm. And then we hear beep, boop, 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 boop. A little like R2-D2.
That's him.
And then, yes.
He's like, Cooper, what'd you do? What, you crazy? You messed it all up.
And then he's like, beep, boop, boop, boop. And we realize, oh yeah, every single mess up that's ever happened on this podcast has been completely our fault.
Right, he's never messed
every
up.
Every time.
Yes.
Forgot to email the files, forgot to hit record.
One side is corrupted.
One microphone wasn't on. The card was full.
Talking too close, talking too far. Sometimes I spit when I talk.
Oh, man. It's so hard. It's just talking, and even that's hard.
Yeah.
It's talking in place. I like to talk and move. Is that so wrong?
Haven't we been doing this for like years now?
Like our whole lives.
I feel like we've barely started. Like, I feel like if someone said, now you're ready to start, do a podcast, even then I'd be skeptical.
Or yeah, I'd be like, we could use a little help.
Yeah, like, oh, is there going to be a producer?
Yeah, someone can like do it for us.
How do you do these things?
I don't know. And they're supposed to be the easiest.
Right.
Of all the mediums.
You do them just to kind of mess around while you're focusing on your other project.
Yes, and we have failed at that.
Now we just do this.
You know, in some ways, though, because it's painful to realize how incompetent you can be
one
in
can
life.
Be, yeah.
Yes. But I've been incompetent at many tasks. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to feel as bad about this one.
That's true.
I was an incompetent waiter when I was a waiter.
Right.
Very incompetent.
Right.
I'm the waiter that, like, you tell your order to and I immediately would forget it.
Right. You forgot that you should be writing it down.
Yeah. I'm like, I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
I forgot what soda you wanted. I was so bad.
I feel like you could have a little speaking tour about how incompetent you are and what you've learned.
Yes.
I feel like the power of incompetence. It's like, that's powerful to own it and start a movement
of like being okay with stinking at things.
Yeah. I stink.
I stunk at skateboarding when I did that in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I stunk at, you know, I was okay at baseball, but I kind of stunk.
Yeah.
Stunk in a lot of ways.
It's a combination of natural ability.
Mm-hmm. Inability.
Inability in this case. applying yourself to the task at hand and trying to improve.
And failing at that.
But not doing that.
And how that happens.
Yeah. It's just like, I think that's the move.
Yeah. Because like, I feel like failure is kind of like cool. Not totally now, but like people are trying to accept failure. And it's like, it's not even that.
But I think they're trying to accept it so that they could... That's dirty not little secret fail. To succeed.
Right. But here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
It ain't gonna happen.
I agree. It's like this binary. It's like, okay, first it was all about success. Then it's like, no. Embrace that we're all human and frail and like pretty much succeed.
So then we can
so that
succeed
you can
after,
like basically
yeah.
succeed as much as you can.
But
within,
you fail a little bit, but then you succeed.
Yeah, or like you're just being realistic about how much you can succeed.
Right, right. But you will succeed.
Yeah.
And this is all under the guise of like, this is for success.
No one's saying like, stink a little.
Stink it up and just be bad at it.
That's better.
And you're not going to improve.
Right.
I'm trying to think of other areas where
Has anyone ever said that? Is it the most radical message?
In the world?
Since Jesus Christ?
I bet Jesus was kind of a success freak.
I would imagine.
He's like, it's okay, accept everyone.
He kind of reminds me of the, it's okay to fail because you really want to succeed.
Yeah. Succeed in business.
Like tech bro, like failing is so great.
It's all part of it.
Don't be afraid to fail. Like fail bravely.
Yes. When I interview someone and they don't say how bad they've failed, I kick them out.
I kick them out, but like it's all about iterating.
Right.
It's an iterative process to be Jesus.
Right. And you're like, no way, dude.
Like, what if I don't want to be?
And I stink. I started to actually even think about how much, oh God, I can't believe this, how much I like the Old Testament now. I don't know anything about the New Testament, but I always thought I would like that one better because it's like Jesus is just like a good guy. But I'm starting to like
the old guys?
Well, the mystery of like, hey, look, no one's in charge here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's actually less of a do good, do bad, and more just like, this is all pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like we came to the Bible being mad that there weren't like, hey, I thought this thing was supposed to have like answers and stuff.
Right.
And maybe now we're like, right, because there are no answers. It's all just cuckoo.
Right.
And if now if Jesus starts telling me that there's answers, I'll be like, come on.
Dude, yeah, dude.
Go back to it's more accurate that like you kill people. Sometimes you're the good guy. Sometimes you're the bad guy.
It's not so clear.
It's really muddy.
Right. Like you think you're the good guy, but you're the bad guy. But really you are the good guy, but you're the bad guy.
You do things. Sometimes you get rewarded. Sometimes you get punished. It's almost a coin flip.
Yeah. Your best bet is to try and please God. But honestly,
that blows up in your face in big ways.
Yeah. And like you don't want to be doing stuff that you end up doing because like you kind of just have to. That's life.
I feel like sometimes the people who are the most flipped to God, I don't have any examples offhand, but I get I just feel like God was like, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he likes that.
You're fine.
He's one of those guys like, I like it when people give it back to me, you know?
Sometimes. He's like the worst kind of guy. Give it to me. And then like, but then every like fourth person's like, I'm gonna kill you. Ow. Don't do that.
Are you crazy? I'm God. We're not equals here. Yeah, I like it when people are honest, you know? People are not honest anymore.
Yeah, like fat guy, tall, like stinkeroo.
Say it.
Like, yeah, I'll do it to you. You do it to me. That's how you communicate.
It's people. We're just being people. We're being honest. But then both like getting their feelings
like,
hurt
God
so
can't
bad.
God can't really take it is the hard part.
But and that's also like, hey, sometimes God can't take it, man.
And that describes a lot of people.
A lot of people and a lot of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I tried. It didn't work. I stink.
Yeah, I'm still on the stink train.
Well, speaking
of, I think we got to get it.
Speaking of stinking.
Yeah. Oh, great.
We
yeah,
stunk so bad that we just forgot about two chapters.
Right.
And so I'm feeling all right about it because it's like, hey, we stunk. Maybe these will stink. Maybe these won't. It's okay.
Great segue.
So we got to read two chapters that we missed that people were actually excited about in the Discord.
That these two chapters were particularly good?
Yeah, like I kind of peeked ahead and these next ones, like it's interesting.
Okay. Well, do you remember what happened either before or after?
I know there's like, look, David has been such a mercurial
right. Something about hero David.
That's where the good guy, bad guy stuff is really interesting to me is that he seemed like he's a good guy. He's trying to run away from Saul.
Oh,
Saul's
right,
trying to kill him.
He might be leading a revolution that's actually totally not fair and cool.
Yes, and he's like hiding with the bad guys.
Right.
And he's like, what? And there's even, I think people were talking about on the Discord, I can't remember what the references were to it in the actual Bible, but that David like maybe is sleeping with or slept with Saul's wife.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember what the reference was.
I mean, I
wouldn't
be surprised.
And he'd be like, what?
What?
It's good. I was helping. Yeah, it's good. It's free love, baby. It's the 60s, the 70s. We're having fun.
Yeah.
He's Austin Powers.
One thing we forgot to say that I think we should now, as opposed to remember at the end when people
don't care,
don't care and have stopped
just
listening.
Like, turn it off.
And we probably should have said at the beginning.
Well, maybe we could ask Cooper to
flip it.
Flip it. Nah.
Is that like, yeah, if it flips, I guess. See,
try
see
to
if
flip.
It try to flip it. If
Cooper!
Not,
oh my gosh, we have to welcome a member of the God Squad, okay. Who I didn't like. It's been months. I feel like Hope. Thanks for joining the God Squad.
Okay.
Hope and I have been talking. She was very nice and was like, "Are you guys not announcing God Squad members anymore?"
Of course, Hope is nice. Can you be named Hope and just suck?
Be a biatch. Hope chewed me out again. So cruel. No, it seems like a Hope is like a nice.
I feel like it'd be very, very hard because A, your parents named you Hope.
Right.
They believe in the concept of hope.
Already, you're
already
set up.
You yourself get a daily reminder of the. You are asked to live up to an ideal.
Hope. For the hope that things will be better.
I feel like at some point you're like, what am I doing? I'm Hope.
I am Hope. I'm the personification of Hope.
I can't be cutting in line.
Don't do that, Hope.
I'm Hope.
I am Hope. I let people go in front of me.
I
you go
wonder
right
if that's
ahead.
A lot of pressure associated with that, too.
So then they go crazy.
You know who would know is Hope. Hope or anyone whose name is an ideal. Can you sound off in the Discord and say, does the ideal of your name create a burden that you feel obliged to live up to?
And honestly, anyone could also, even if your name isn't just like a concept, does your name burden you?
That's
is your name a burden?
Yeah.
Some people might feel
that
way.
Is your name a burden?
Yeah. Like if you have like an old name or something and you're like, I feel like I can't act young.
Are there any names, this isn't a joke, accepted names that are a negative concept like greed?
Oh. Selfish, no?
Selfish.
Pity, no.
Pity.
Anger.
Pity's a funny one because, like, I think that some people like that.
That's true, is to be pitied.
And yet it's definitely not a name.
It's not a name. But yeah, some people like to be pitied, but some people are like, don't pity me.
Pity.
Well, that's a great question. Fact Squad?
Fact Squad.
Name, help us out.
Yeah, help us.
And also, you can email BibleBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. I don't get as many personal emails anymore because of the Discord,
right.
But just putting it out there. It still exists.
Yeah, we have an Instagram and a Twitter.
Mm-hmm. An X.
And then we have an X.
We have an X. I haven't been on the X in a while.
And it shows. It's really little activity going on the X.
Yeah. In general, you're saying?
No.
Okay.
For
us. Yeah.
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 Same with the Instagram.
Yeah.
Not a ton of activity.
No. No.
Kind of going out with a whimper.
True exhausted whimper. Well, why don't we read this these chapters?
Sure.
Sure. After that.
I thought you were going to segue into, like, I thought there was, like, a reason to.
No. There's a reason to read.
Yeah, yeah,
we
let's
have
just read
to.
Them. Okay. Let's do it. Okay. Good point. Got to read this Bible. Here we go. Open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel or Samuel 1. We're not sure. This is chapter 27, one of the skipped lost chapters. And this section is called David Escapes into Philistine Territory to Avoid Saul.
Again? Or maybe it's a repeat.
What do you mean again? I think he's been... Oh, yeah. I mean, all this stuff is so...
It's just like, hey, he did it again.
It's like cat and mouse.
Right.
And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand.
Really, like, kind of sociopathic that he's saying, well, the best option, obviously, is I got to go take refuge in with the Philistines.
Right.
Like, that's his first thought. But the way he's presenting it is like, obviously, I have to.
Mm.
It seems very manipulative to the reader, to whoever he's talking to.
I'll be 100%. My dog groomer just texted me.
Uh-huh.
So
you're like, you just thought the whole thing was about a dog getting cleaned.
Yeah, I know you're not supposed to say that on a podcast.
While I was hosting, I was imagining.
I was just thinking to myself, like, is it worth the energy to lie in this moment? And I decided,
like, uh-huh.
And I said, no.
That's fair. So you didn't even catch what you read?
I didn't catch what you said after I read. Yeah.
I was saying that David is very manipulative in this moment because he's like, I think I'm going to get killed. So the only option, the best option is to go to the enemies and hide there.
Oh, totally.
And it's like, right? Isn't that the best option? And someone would have to be like, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little like, I don't know. I can't exactly put my finger on, but a little chicken in the egg. Like,
yeah.
It's like the is it solipsistic? No, it's like a sort of, there's like a word for it where you're like, you're justifying what you're doing because otherwise, like, it's like a little, or they'll kill me, so I'm gonna do something not great.
Yeah, and it's also, it feels like abuser territory where it's like, keep pushing the envelope, like, I have to do this bad thing,
right? Or else, right? Something bad's gonna happen to us.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah. I guess that he's making it sound like it's okay,
right? So now we're hiding out with the enemy.
Yeah,
like, aren't we the enemy now,
right? And like, why don't you work it out with Saul,
right? Because like, no, that's a given.
He's crazy,
that's impossible.
Though. He's crazy, so I'm going to do something crazy.
Yeah, it was a good point, and I'm really sorry about the dog groomer thing.
Hey, don't. It's water under the bridge.
All right. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath.
That seems odd. So he's got 600 buddies with him while he's hiding?
Yeah. Hiding is, I mean, it's a huge world. It's a huge open world.
Mm.
You know?
Hyrule.
It's like Hyrule.
But still 600 guys.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of guys to be like, hey, can we hide here? But
they also didn't have GPS.
That's true.
And tracking devices.
Mm. Yeah. And you can't just look at the, you can't hit the little minus button and look at the map. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yours was way better, the sound effect.
And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, and Nabal's wife.
Okay.
Wait.
Two wives.
David with his two wives.
Oh, the widow of Nabal.
And Abigail was Nabal's wife.
Yeah. And he's like, now she's my wife.
Who's Nabal? Do we know him? I'm sure we do.
Yeah, probably.
And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him.
Why? I'm not going. I'm not looking.
Why?
I don't feel like it. Please don't make me. He's tired, too.
Yeah, that's, they're also running on empty.
Yeah. I'm tired, man. No more.
And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day.
Again, it seemed like he's kind of manipulating. He's like, shouldn't I have some land? I shouldn't just like be here.
I shouldn't be in the city with you. It's like, it's such a nice city. Give me just a whole land.
Land. Just a little bit of land. That's all. Because, you know, I'm David.
I agree. David. And lastly, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months.
Wow. Serious hiding.
Yeah.
Dang. He's like really exiled.
I think it's like some of the confusion is just like that they're using words like someone who's just kind of hiding in a fugitive when really what's happening is it's like just a whole rival civilization that it's not like
they're basically seceding.
Yeah,
they're making their own like little state.
Yeah, so it's not
Texas.
We're just hiding.
Right, it's not that. It's like we're just starting.
It's really, I'm just hiding. It's like, well, it's you plus 600 people.
Like your people. You're trying to start a rival country.
Yeah, we see what you're doing.
I'm just hiding. Shouldn't I have a little land?
And the last section of this chapter is called David Pretends to Serve King Achish of the Philistines.
Pretends. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. With like his fingers crossed behind his back.
The whole time.
Gotcha.
We reverse. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish.
It's so weird to be like a fugitive from one place and to be like, hey, we should lay siege to
other places,
other people, and burn it to the ground.
Totally.
It's like, what do you even believe in at this point? Like, right. At least the other people are crazy enough to be like, well, God.
It's like, what's your end game?
Yeah. What are you trying?
Like, are you trying to take over this land?
It seems like they're either trying to take it over or they just maybe need stuff.
Yeah.
But why are they then burning everything? It's tradition.
Tradition.
You just gotta.
Hold for Wizard's little footprints.
Yes.
Okay.
A little tap dancing.
And Achish said, whither have ye made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of the Jerahmeelites and against the south of the Kenites.
Great conversation. Where'd you go, like, kill people today? Here, here, and here.
Okay.
Hope you had fun.
And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. Is he saying...
So he's lying.
He's lying about, like, we shouldn't say that we got stuff, because then he'll ask us for the stuff we got?
Right. He did not leave a man or woman alive to be... And he thought they might inform on us and say, this is what David did. His practice... So...
Is he saying, like, don't tell him we killed all those people?
But then he kind of did. Basically, Achish, okay, thinks that David is, like, in his favor... Because Saul hates him.
Right.
So it's like, I got this guy. Like, he's going to be working. He has to work for me.
Right.
But I don't know what David is doing. He's lying, I guess, in some way.
He's lying about something.
He's lying. He's not. Yeah. But Achish is convinced that he's not. Because what crazy person would be, like, ousted from their own civilization and then also be double-crossing the guy who's helping him?
Yeah, you'd have to be a sociopath.
Totally.
You'd have to be a sicko.
Yeah.
And he's like, David's not a sicko.
Zoom in on like his cracked out eyes.
Oh no, look at his cracked out eyes. That's the telltale sign.
Holy crap.
Okay, so now here's this other chapter. It's 28, and this section is called Achish Puts Confidence in David.
Con man.
Mm. Yes, confidence man.
Mm-hmm. Gives you the confidence.
Right.
It's one of those things that's like, you know, actually, that's why.
It's the opposite. Yes. No.
He gives it's that and like divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Actually, divide and conquer is not. I guess it's like they're dividing you, not like divide and conquer. When someone says like, hey, let's split up to go find something.
Oh, you say divide and conquer.
Like, oh, divide and conquer. And it's like, that's actually not the.
The way to kill someone is to divide and conquer them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But what sometimes people use the phrase divide and conquer, like, hey, let's split up.
Yes, right.
And we'll take care of the
task.
That's,
I think, how I always say it.
But that's wrong.
Huh.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. But then the amount of time it takes to explain it every time you want to use that word.
It's not worth it. It should just mean that, too.
When people are like, forte is pronounced fort. Like, okay, fine. Say it is. Do you want to go through? It's true that people say that.
Okay. But.
And I believe that it's probably true. At some point, it was true.
But it doesn't matter anymore.
Are you really going to live your life being like, and that's my fort? And what? Just let it linger stare everyone in the eyes and be like...
Because you know it as the other way. But I know that originally, that's how it was pronounced.
I'm not about that.
No, it's not. Words change, too.
Words change constantly.
So...
Sarah corrects me on, you know, may I versus can I. I'm like...
Bro. It's 2023. Did you get
what I was asking?
Yeah.
Bruh?
Yeah. So let me ask you again. Can I piss
all over the damn on the rug?
No. It's may I.
Ah, sorry, ma'am.
All right.
May I piss on the rug?
Yeah, may I? Madam. Oh, pinky's out. Nah, dude.
No, it doesn't matter. It's actually worse to do it your way.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. Ashish puts his confidence in David the traditional way. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Ashish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men.
Obviously.
Because you're
on my side.
You're on
now.
My team. And he's like, yes.
Yes.
And David said to Ashish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Ashish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever.
That's so funny. So David didn't say yes. He was like, you know what I'm capable of.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he's a like, sort of mysterious answer.
Yes, as villains often do.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes,
why don't you just lie at this point?
Yes.
It's like they find it so delicious that they're like hiding in plain sight.
Yes. And it's like, go back and think about everything I said.
I'd never lie.
I never specified.
I just said, you know what I do.
You know what your servant would do.
Tasty.
And then he's like, wait, you're lying. You're not being clear. Kill him.
Well, it is kind of true. Like something that's funny about like a lot of real life crazy, you know, villain criminal people. It's like they really do get off. Like it's not like you're like, yes, it is. They act like characters because it's like, yes, if you were acting just totally in your own self-interest, you should just hide your tracks.
Yeah. At every turn.
Often they do really get off on the fact that they're not. They love it.
Yeah, and they like will evade questions, kind of say
what they're doing in a way that's like elliptical, but like if you knew, you knew.
Right. But then other people could say, well, we don't know if that's what they were saying. It's just like interesting. That's how evil they are.
Yeah, it's just like that's how a lot of like evil people work.
Mm-hmm.
They find it delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Them.
I think that's the definition of an evil person as opposed to like a no good Nick.
Right.
You know, I feel like if you're evil, you find it delicious.
You find it delicious to bend and manipulate the truth, let's say, for your own personal gain.
And I think if you're a no good Nick, you are, it's purely a means to an end. Whatever you would say, the bad and evil stuff, you're just like, you just are like, I just want money or I just want power. Like, so obviously I'm not going to like revel in my how sweet it is. I'm just going to do the thing and not tell anyone.
It's a tough choice, but I have to.
Yeah. Or maybe for these people, it's like a less of a tough choice, but at the very least, it's like, it's a means to an end. You're like, I just wanted money and power and whatever, all the other things. So I did
some things
and I'll never talk about it again.
Those guys are like, yum, yum,
they're
yum,
like,
yum.
It's part of the journey. Like,
so this is the difference between evil and no good Nick.
Yeah, not that people were asking the difference between evil and no good Nick, but I guess I'm trying to separate. Maybe some people love it, and little different than a person who's just doing it.
I think that's an interesting distinction.
I don't know.
I like it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes. Usually people make distinctions when people are asking about things to be separated.
I like
I'm just separating some stuff.
Yeah. Hey. It's like cleaning up a little bit when no one asked you to. It's like, hey, thanks.
There's two piles. I don't know if these piles work, but
this elf.
Let's put no good Nicks on the left. I
noticed your counter was like a little bit messy. So
I just made this new system.
Yeah. Don't take it or leave it. But
see if it works.
I hope it helps you, you know, just organize your mind a little bit.
Do with it what you will. No good Nicks and evil.
Because you didn't have a system. It'd be one thing if people were trying to keep their counter clean and you just started to rearrange it.
Maybe my system will just spur you to create a better system. And that's a win.
Yeah, for both of us.
So where are we?
I don't care.
Yes. You David's know what your lying. Servants will can do.
Yum, 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 yum.
Now, Samuel was dead. Do we know this?
No. Or maybe. Yeah. Yeah, because I want to say we talked about how like it was a
because this book is Samuel
anticlimactic. Yes, it's like he died in the middle.
He dies in the middle,
and it was like not interesting or cool.
Yeah. Oh, and I do see a person named Nabal that we read about. Totally forgot about him. Here we go. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits. And the wizards out of the land.
Whoa.
Now I'm going to repeat that. Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. What are familiar spirits?
Mediums. Spiritual. Mm-hmm. They talk to that is all the witch doctors and you guys got to go.
Looks like King James made some
edits.
That
really feels like an addendum.
Yeah.
Oh, and just add that, because it's not even about Saul, the previous sentence.
No.
Can we get another wizard's reminder that they got to, witches and wizards got to go?
Seems totally off the topic.
Right? Samuel died. And oh yeah, Saul did this thing. He got rid of, he wizards. Made like a wizard ghetto.
Mm, that's could be a thing.
A show or a movie.
A movie or
like.
A setting in a bigger movie that they have to go to the wizard ghetto to get the help they need. Wizards in the future. It's like a World War II. It's like a sort of like a
X-Men-y kind
of. Yeah, like it's sort of alternate history, mm-hmm. sort of alternate history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, did I already say that?
Yeah, but still, I'm with you.
Sort of like an alternate history.
Okay.
Like. And the Nazis or something
got rid of them.
I mean, that's basically, I feel like Harry Potter had a lot of like Nazi us versus them. I think we're basically pitching some of the later books of Harry Potter.
Still.
But it's a good idea.
It works for me, but that they're, because they are wizards. I'm like, yeah, but they're wizards. But you know what? I forgot that Harry Potter's a wizard.
There's a big difference, yeah, though, in Harry Potter.
But it was so embarrassing that it was because I was imagining like, a Merlin kind of wizard or like,
right.
You know, sort of a bald, spiky mustache,
yeah.
Like yeah. Long fingernails classic. Wizard. And so I'm like, yeah, yeah, Harry Potter, whatever. Like shooting electricity out of their fingertips. Wizard.
What are these wizards?
That's what I was imagining.
That's what Harry Potter is.
I guess the older people are.
There's a bunch of those people.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't keep up with Harry Potter enough. I'm like, yeah, that's just some kids and wands.
Right.
This is more like
classic wizards,
gauntlet legends,
like Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
like the
so
whole
a bunch of guys in robes, shooting electricity out of their fingers, is what I was imagining. But I was wrong that Harry Potter is indeed very clearly a wizard.
Right, right, right.
So I was just dead wrong in that.
No, you're not dead wrong. Like I think Harry. I mean, yeah. Harry Potter like rides a line, I would say. Mm. Like there's doing like sort of boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely there's people like Gandalf or no, whatever. I'm getting confused.
I know,
who's
too.
The other guy? Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
He's like right out of the
classic.
He's got the whole dealy.
Right. I forgot he existed.
Yeah. But then other people, yeah, are more like buttoned up.
Yeah, there's some row. Yeah, but it's so funny. I just like didn't even. It just didn't even cross my mind. I guess I was also thinking like Middle Ages.
Totally.
That kind of wizardry.
Because I'm kind of thinking for our movie
mm-hmm.
that this wizard ghetto, that it's a little more like District 9. Like that they just look like kind of dirty, scrabbly.
It's probably what would sell
almost
better.
Like real, like a sense of like realism.
Yeah,
like,
you don't
know
want
what I mean?
Like, that's what people like now.
And they're doing the magic stuff, but they like look like just normal bedraggled people.
Yeah, it's like the guy in Game of Thrones that was the bastard like son of the king. This is like early Game of Thrones
uh-huh.
that he was like worked at like an armory.
The blacksmith boy?
Blacksmith boy.
Yeah.
Like he's like magic. That guy. No, but I'm just saying
The vibe.
The vibe of just like,
nothing.
He's just like a guy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little handsome, but.
Well, certainly. It's a movie.
Can't have an Uggo on screen.
Yeah.
People will throw up. Oh, unless he's acting like an Uggo.
No, you have to, if you want an Uggo, just get a hottie who's less hot than the person whose people are calling hot in
right,
the thing.
Right, right. Yes. Yeah. That was, I had recently watched Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Oh, yeah.
And like a big part of it is that I can never say her name. Mina Servino?
Mina Suvari?
That's it. Thank you.
Isn't it?
Yes. Mina okay. Suvari. Her character was like fat in uh-huh. the past and they like barely padded her.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, you know, quote unquote fat suit. And you're like, guys, this is unfair. This is not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's like, yeah, it's a movie.
It's an indication of fattiness. Right.
But of course, there's a soup be no song, fatty.
But obviously, we can't go too deep.
No, we still want to look at her. Oh, isn't she beautiful?
I feel like that way. Like, don't you feel that way when you talk to like department heads, like about any like creative decision that's like a strong, you know, it's like make this guy anything. I mean,
normal.
Like, or you get it on like from the notes, you get it all the way down. It's like, make this guy look sick.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you don't want to make him look sick, right? And you're like, this is crazy because you're the department. Like,
yes.
Yes, I do. Like,
well, yes.
They're like, certainly you don't want to make him look like.
That could upset people.
Like what? Like, what that's you what do, we need. Like the
and it's just one scene.
It'll be like,
but he'll be sick.
It's almost like they don't want to, or like clothing too. It's like they dress poorly.
Yes.
And you're like,
but he still has nice
slacks.
Dress
poorly. You're like, when? Oh, yes. Like,
that literally happened in my.
Yes.
The episode of Great News that I wrote, I think season two, that Katie was like dating a
reporter.
Yes. And he was supposed to be like a very poor journalist.
Right.
And they just decked out his apartment in as like a regular
like
apartment.
The coolest with like art.
Yes.
Like of journalism of the past and like.
Fruit. Right. I remember there being like fresh fruit. And I was like, he's not a kind of guy that would have fruit. And they're like, he's not going to have fruit.
Yeah. It's like, we're already, I mean, this is already pretty poor what we're doing like, here.
But it's like, you need it to be so stark because it's so short on the screen. It should look even more poor.
Right.
It's because that's the joke.
If it you might have to make it more, this is not even as poor as the real life version.
Right.
And you might have to go poorer than that to really hammer it down that this guy is poor.
Yes. And they were just like
you got to have
okay.
Food.
That's the thing too. They weren't
like,
even.
But there's nothing. This wall is so boring.
Right.
You're like, yeah.
I know. You should know that. And it was like an argument a little bit.
No, they get mad.
And then you feel like, am I like pushing too hard on this
art form
idea? Like, is it, yes, is it not worth it?
I know. And then everything's like super, and then you watch it and then inevitably you like get talked down off your talking points. Right. And then you watch it like a few months later and you're like, this is crazy.
Right. It should have been more, should have looked more poor.
Yeah. Your like partner you're watching with is like, I don't get this joke. And you're like, yeah, well, like it's supposed to, he's just supposed to say it, do it and look completely different.
And it didn't happen.
But everyone wanted to be normal because they felt uncomfortable.
To make it like, slightly less normal.
To make a choice to go in a direction.
Yes. Oopsies. Yeah.
Anyway, again, I forget how we got there. Oh yeah, wizard stuff. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled.
Holy crap.
And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets.
That's so funny because he just had all these wizards too. And he's probably like, oh, I could use those wizards right now to talk to God.
Maybe that's the point.
Maybe.
Also, is God now fully not on Saul's side?
I know he's on David's side. He's definitely is on David's side, but he hasn't. I don't know if he's expressed.
He like officially declared, like, I'm also not on Saul's side.
I guess not, but it does seem like God is with David.
Yeah.
David's got the luck on his side, man. Life is just being handed to David a little bit.
Which again, just like if you ask me going into the Bible, like is God never on, like. Does he ever pick sides within the Jewish community?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, no, it's us. It's them versus everyone else.
And also that. And he would always be on the good, unless the guy did something evil to get God to not like him anymore. You know, like there would have to be a clear distinction, I would think.
Yes. And also like, okay, right now you could say that David is quote unquote like undercover or whatever. There's a battle coming up between the Philistines and the chosen people, the God people. God right now is on team Philistine.
That is true. At least.
And the argument is like, well, there's a secret guy there, but like, facts are facts.
Right. It's pretty kooky. It's not what I would have expected.
No.
But now I'm okay with it. We've been in it for so long that I'm like, yeah, that's what God kind of does. You know, he doesn't pick up every call.
Totally.
I'm busy.
Not shocking at all.
If anything, I'd be surprised if he did answer him.
Right.
Haven't heard from him. He showed up not too long ago, but still.
Yeah.
It was a while.
It was like a little, like, it was like going to the table read.
Yes, exactly. Like he made an appearance.
Just to show that he's still at the wheel.
He looked like a lot older, you know. It was like, oh wow, I haven't seen God like in person.
Yeah, he looks like super makeup tan, or like something. Clearly he's not been here.
He's Zaslav.
Yeah, you look great. Your teeth are like bigger.
So
now.
White, big white teeth and crisp collars.
Yeah.
What? Very starched shirts.
It's like you're a different guy. Like, what are you trying to do?
That's God.
So this next section is called Saul Seeks for a Witch to Help Him.
Wow. He's got, hey, baby, I'm sorry I kicked you out.
Is that what's going on? Probably.
I hope so.
I got to stop by the wizard ghetto.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, well, well.
What do you want from us, Saul?
Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah, I'm a frog.
Oh, froggy wizard.
I'm a frog wizard. Not all wizards are humans.
Right, he like steps near the frog. He's like, watch it, fella.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for the person in charge here. You're stepping on him.
Yes, oh, that's good. Now it's like Labyrinth or something.
Yeah.
Like puppets and Jim Henson-y.
Totally.
That also sounds good.
Yeah. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor from Star Wars. Yeah.
Literally.
There's a lot of weird stuff happening. That he is just like, I need a familiar spirit.
And no one is like, didn't you kick him out?
You kicked them all out and you hate him. It's like off character.
Yeah.
Are you not even...
But he's so scared that he's acting out of character because the Philistine force is huge.
Yeah.
He's like, just get me the familiar woman.
Yeah. Okay. So he needs a wizard.
Very cool.
From Endor.
So this is why people were excited about these chapters, I guess.
I could see why. I was like, this last chapter where like David lies, like, okay.
Who cares? But now, yes, we've got wizards on Endor, Star Wars.
Get me a wizard. God's not picking up my phone.
Get me a wizard now.
Okay, there's one on Endor. You mean the planet of the Ewoks? Yes. All right, I'm going to get in my Jewish version of a spaceship.
Right.
He my Bible version of a spaceship that's like like a menorah.
Yeah, or like an X-Wing, but it has a Star of David.
Oh, I like that. It's like shaped like a Star of David. Mm-hmm. It works that way.
That is like the most fun part of Star Wars is like everything has to sound a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Our planes don't go, they go. No.
Whoa, that was good.
Oh, nice. Okay, now
landing plane.
Landing covering.
On Endor.
Yeah. I'm trying to do the
oxygen. The land. Just the vibe of Endor.
I guess so.
Misty.
Oh, yeah. Can't do that. Cooper, give us a mist.
And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men.
I would love to see this scene of Saul needing a disguise.
Yeah, to blend in with the wizards.
That's right. He has a wizard disguise.
Hey, wizards.
Zap, zap.
Hey, zap to you.
Good zap to you.
Abracadabra.
Where's this familiar woman? And they're like, excuse us, sir. We're having a wizarding contest. You do your, and he's like,
oh gosh. Hey.
He throws like a smoke bomb and they run.
Yeah.
Somebody had to outfit him a little bit with like, if
some
in
magic.
Case. Yeah. Man, and God's not there to help him with a nasty thumb.
Right.
That would have been helpful.
And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up
Jeez,
whom I shall name unto thee.
Not even like an introduction or an offer for like, hey, here's some money.
I'm sorry about your circumstances.
It's right. Yeah, just like, hey, you.
Hey, help me. I'm the king.
Psst, don't tell anybody.
And what is he asking for?
What verse was that?
Eight.
Eight. Consult a spirit for me. Hey, consult a spirit for me. Bring up for me the one I name.
Okay.
Okay, then I guess.
And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die?
Oh, so they're like, you're not even allowed to be wizarding in here.
Right, and they're like, Saul's forbidden it.
So what's the point of having, like, kicked them out?
No. I'm back on it. He kicked them out. He almost, like, forgot his own rule.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, I need a wizard. Don't you know, man? Saul, he forgot that he outlawed wizardry.
But I'm saying, like, he not only kicked them out into a ghetto, but right. He also said, and while you're in the ghetto, no wizarding.
Correct.
So, like, why not just leave them be in their land, but no wizarding?
Probably. I mean, I can just imagine.
He didn't like
police state.
Police state. Got it. I'm on board.
Yeah.
But now he's just like, hey. Do some wizarding. And they're like, don't you?
You forgot.
The king.
And he's like, she doesn't. Oh, shoot. Right.
Right. Right. Okay. Next plan.
I heard Saul.
Right.
Can I say I'm Saul?
No.
If Saul were here, he could reverse it. But he's going to get beat up.
Oh, brother.
Okay. It's me, Saul. Poo, hiss. You're me.
Turn him into a toad.
And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel.
Like, it sounds like
Wait,
they're
so
looking
knows
at a computer.
Saul now.
I know. I thought she was
thought
saying,
was
like, don't
disguise.
You? I thought so, too. I thought she was saying, like, don't you know what Saul did, not knowing it was him. But she's saying, I guess, don't you know what you did?
No, I think...
Or
I think the Bible's just like back to like they are starting to get things right, but they still don't really understand how these stories work. It's like, this is good, Bible good. And it's like, so he's like, do it. It would be like, you're just like, okay, but remember Bible, she doesn't know it's him and that's good.
It's great.
Like stay in that.
Yeah.
Because there's implications.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
If he tells her that that's a problem, the Bible's like, no, it's not because he's Saul.
He's Saul.
Well, it's easy because he's Saul, so he tells her to do it different.
Okay, Bible. You got, you know what? And you're like, we got this far, so it's not worth it to fight them on this, but it's better, but it's not what it should be.
But
here
okay,
we are.
Right. That was an interesting problem. This is not an interesting solution to be like, okay, well, I'm Saul. Do it.
Good job, Bible.
And then she's like, okay.
You did good enough.
Who do you want me to bring?
Let's see.
And it's Samuel, and when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul?
Okay.
Well, sort of okay, but then why would she have done it in the first place? She would never, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth.
This translation says, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth. Cool. I love this. They're talking to a ghost.
That's what Saul said to the woman?
No, the woman said that. He said, don't be afraid. He's like, just keep going. What do you see? And she said, I see a ghost coming out of the earth.
Isn't that Saul? Isn't that Samuel?
Samuel, yes. I think so.
And he said unto her, what form is he of?
What does he look like?
And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself.
He's like, that's got to be. Samuel's old.
Okay.
He's old, and he wears a robe.
Yeah.
That's
Samuel
him.
Time.
This is awesome. Ghost talk?
Ghost talk.
The ghost of Sam.
It's okay, like Obi-Wan.
Now, yes.
Use the Force.
George Lucas. I would love that if that's what he says.
I should use the Force.
He says I should use the Force from Star Wars. And she's like, go for it, man. You got this.
It is just weird that it's getting kind of Star Wars-y, and they did mention Endor. It makes you think like, huh, I wonder if Star Wars took some Bible stuff?
I mean, they definitely did. So, I mean,
but Lord, like specifics, I mean.
Oh, literally, yeah, yeah. I can't believe how much sometimes people like steal things.
Me too.
Because like even like the you know, lists of names is very Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever read, is it called Necromancer, that sci-fi book?
Neuromancer,
thank you. Neuromancer.
Yeah.
And that is literally a guy getting jacked into the Matrix.
Oh, totally.
And you're like, it's called the Matrix?
I think like good art is just like in... steals from just like a more obscure references. That's the only difference.
And they like somehow they get it to be more commercial.
And like other things you see, they like rip them off and you're like, well, I know what you ripped off, so that's ripping off.
Right.
But this is like,
you're helping us. Like, oh, Quentin Tarantino rips off.
Inspired by, yeah. Yeah, like when they're like, he's inspired, quote unquote, by like spaghetti westerns. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, you just like ripped it.
Yeah.
Like you do, you weren't like, but inspired. Now let me like, take it in a different direction. You're just like, do that.
Just do it. But I'm doing it so more people will see it.
And it's, yeah.
And it's cool. It's like been long enough that that's cool. The style is cool.
That's why I think creative people need to spend less time thinking and more time ripping.
Ripping.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Rip it, dude.
It's too much of a headache to think of a new thing.
Yeah. And it's like, then you're just going to get ripped later anyway. And
yeah. Best case scenario, you get ripped.
Because you've made an obscure thing.
Right.
That's like a fine new idea. But yeah, then you're going to get ripped and you don't get any. Same thing with the Master Switch, Inventors.
Oh, you read it.
I haven't finished it.
It's good, right?
But inventors like get the invention, capitalists get the...
And the capitalists rip.
Rip it.
Right. So just know where you stand and what you're doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is all I want to say.
Because you're going to get ripped.
Sometimes I don't know myself.
It's not easy.
What would you say you are?
I'm not a ripper, but I should rip.
You're an inventor?
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I should be ripping more.
Yeah.
Should do some more ripping.
I could go either way. But more and more, I'm maybe like, maybe I'm a ripper.
Well, maybe you're trying it.
I think I'm trying to become a ripper.
Yeah. Because you see the value of it.
Yeah. Because it's like, that's smart.
Ripping works.
And I'm tired.
Yeah.
And
too tired.
It works and it seems easier.
Yeah. And people like it more.
And people like it more.
It's a real win-win for the ripper.
What is... The inventor gets like personal gratification.
Yeah, like at most.
Yeah.
Not even then, a lot of the times.
Or they believe in the mission for like some higher purpose that's like harder to quantify.
Right. But then, yeah, they get ripped and they get nothing.
Yeah.
I forgot the part in that book about the guy who invented the TV that got nothing.
Oh, he got ripped.
He got ripped hard.
Yeah.
The only, the book mentioned, the only mention of the guy, I forgot his name, on television was he was a trivia question on like a Jeopardy kind of show and no one knew who he was. It's like, oh, that hurts.
And that's the guy who did the thing that was like changed society. Everything. It changed everything.
But no, just let the Sarnoff or whatever get the credit.
Yeah.
Rip it.
This last section is called Saul is Told His Fate.
Wow.
Did Saul die? Now,
no. Samuel did.
But in the reading, because we skipped ahead.
Oh.
Is he dead at this point? I don't know. Well, anyway.
Let's go back last week, guys.
I forget. Saul has told his fate. Here we go. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Sure.
This is cool. Then I can't get God to answer me, so you're the next best thing. Oops. I love Saul's predicament.
Has Saul done anything like objectively bad yet?
I thought like early on, because remember it was like, I thought kind of what the lesson was happening here was that the Israelites were like, we want a king. And Samuel
he's the
was
the guy, and Samuel's like, don't do it.
It was just like, you want a king, okay. Right. Like it doesn't come with, it's not going to be all roses.
And who ate the psychedelic honey?
Jonathan, his son maybe?
It was like someone was like, don't eat the honey. And then he ate it.
He's like, I can't stop. This stuff is good.
Quite the opposite.
Right. Mm-hmm. Come eat the honey with me. I want to say, I don't remember exactly who it was.
Maybe
but
Jonathan.
Yeah. Yes, but it was, I don't remember if Saul did anything evil, but it was like, okay, this isn't a great situation now. See?
Right.
You get asked,
no,
be careful what you wish for.
No, you're definitely asked to be you're basically told like he's bad.
Yeah.
He's bad because he's bad.
But now
because he was asked for when God didn't want it.
Yeah. But you know, now I'm pretty sympathetic to
totally
Saul's case here.
Well, it seems like God is his boss and he basically set him up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's his big, it's time for the big meeting. And God's like, why don't you handle it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
here we go.
And the Lord has. Oh, yeah. So then Samuel then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day.
Wow, he's really giving him an explanation.
Talking to.
Yeah.
Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me.
Ooh, in, freaky.
I guess in hell.
Yeah.
The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Okay. Then Saul felt straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid. Every time they say sore afraid or sore distressed, it reminds me of Goofy.
Sore.
Yeah. I'm sore, sorry.
Sore afraid. Well, that's also a Bible reference.
Goofy.
Goofy's a rip, a Bible rip.
Of Saul.
Yes. Don't you know Goofy's just Saul?
I'm sore afraid. Because of the words of Samuel, and therefore was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night.
That's funny. His strength was gone because he forgot to eat. He was hungry.
Are you falling because you said you're going to die tomorrow? No.
I'm so hungry. Please, can I have a cracker?
And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I've put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now, therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice, so he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. This is a lot of talk about if he's going to eat or not.
Right.
For like a much bigger stuff going on.
Right. And like kind of minute details of like what he's doing.
She literally falling, she had getting to ask up twice and he's like, okay.
Yeah. Sitting on. This
so
one says.
So he sat up.
It says he got up from the ground and sat on the couch. I did not know they had couches.
It's so funny.
It makes it seem weirdly modern.
Your Bible that's like simpler.
Right.
Is like.
Couch.
It's like a couch.
It's a basically
bed is
a couch.
Kind of like a couch.
It's like it's a big difference,
and it's
to know that like they have a couch in there. Lazy boy.
All right, I'm gonna sit on the couch.
Yeah, I'll take a seat on the couch. Ooh, comfy. Oh, nice couch.
Getting into really fine grained detail, Bible.
Right.
And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night.
Later. Really high.
Weird.
High highs, low lows, very weird.
Weird
in between.
Middle. Ended on a middle.
It ended on such a middle.
Of a like, send me the goat. Like, I'm in wizard ghetto.
Right.
I can't summon Saul. You must.
Die.
Or summon whatever, Samuel. Do it. Okay. A lot of people being asked twice to do something and they'll do it on the second time.
Fine.
With no extra reason.
And people passing out essentially, but not because they're so freaked out that
about
they just
the last
talked
thing
to
the ghost. Said.
It's because he's freaking hungry.
Saul, why are you on the floor?
I eat nothing today.
You gotta eat something. No, you must. Okay.
And then she made them a meal and they ate it and they got up and left.
All right. Well, guess we should get on with it.
Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, it is like, that's it.
It's almost like if there's a message, it's like, hey, even if you get some bad news, you still gotta eat. You still gotta brush your teeth.
And just
goes
the only way out is through.
You gotta just do the normal stuff.
if that is like, what their intention was.
What do you do on execution day? You have a meal.
Yeah. You wake up, you brush your teeth.
Go to the bathroom, whatever.
That's it.
Can't not eat.
Yeah. What do you do after you talk to a freaky old ghost in Wizard Ghetto? You wake up, you eat a little bread.
Yeah.
You get on your way.
You go to work or whatever. It's like, even Samuel, like, go to your Bibles, kids. Like, you don't want to eat because you're in a bad mood. Like,
well, get this.
He was in the worst mood.
Yeah. Saul was told he was going to die for all the mistakes he made.
God hates him.
And guess what? He still had to eat. Okay.
You still got to get on, sit on the couch.
Eat what's on your plate.
Just get up.
Yeah. Take a seat on the couch.
Just like Saul, get on the couch. I'm going to make you something. It's pretty good, right?
Now, let's go start your day.
Go.
Interesting lesson. If that's, it can't be that is what their intention is, but the Bible has a tricky way of making you think that's what it is doing.
Eat your breakfast.
Eat your breakfast, kids.
I don't care if you don't want to go to school.
Sometimes you just got to go. Really? That's the lesson of the Bible? Well, that was awesome, freaky stuff.
Yeah, it was good. I'm glad we went back and didn't skip it.
The Wizard Ghetto and Star Wars planet is the best location that we've had.
Yeah, great, weird chapter.
Totally.
I wish we can't go back, but in hindsight, I wish we had made a little star every time we read a weird chapter.
So we knew.
Just like so we had anything to offer our listeners at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is a good DIZ.
We could have published a blog and said like...
Freaky chaps.
Yeah, we read at least a big chunk of the Bible. Here's some highlights.
Especially Old Testament. And it's not just the stuff that's like, you know, Deuteronomy, hey, you can't do this. And it's like, yeah, we know those laws are weird.
No, I think we could have, if we had thought about it.
Yeah.
Offered something special to people, synthesized and been like, hey, we're comedy writers. We think some stuff of this is weird that didn't get a light shine on it.
Let's shine that
and
light.
And we went through the trouble of going through all the crap to get you a few little nugs.
That could still happen.
Well, but we forgot everything.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, you know what? Sometimes you forget, but you still got to eat. Take a nice sit on the couch and read your Bibles.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was me trying to wrap it up.
Yeah, I heard.
I felt it.
Everyone, 2 weeks from now, get psyched for the live episode. If you're not on the Discord, join it ahead of time just so you're prepped and can meet the community.
Yep.
Until then, you know, join the Patreon to
that
get
would help Cooper the most.
Paid. Even boost your Patreon, knowing that it's a short-term thing.
It's true.
That either we're going to keep on for a little bit, but not a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe it's time to give a little more or save those shekels for whatever however we try to ask for money in the live episode.
Right.
Wait till we ask you outright.
Well, we'll just put out Cooper's personal Venmo and people could help him out.
Oh, there you go.
Well, and Adam has a stimulus check, so that'll be a lot for us.
What, he's going to do it again?
It's his stimulus check. It's however he wants to do it. But
yeah, we know there's money out there.
Right.
Soft money.
To be had. So yes, we will see everyone in a couple weeks. I'll update the socials so people know. Mm-hmm. You could email me at BibleBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. These were great chapters. Thank you, everyone, for being mad and encouraging us to read
go
these.
Back. Yeah.
Go back and read it.
And we'll see you for our big special Coupathon.
2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.